I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. Thousands of anti-government protesters took to the streets again today in Syria, and they were again met with deadly force from Syria's military. Several protesters were reportedly killed. Today's demonstrations were seen as a test for President Bashar al-Assad. Would he abide by his agreement with the Arab League earlier this week to end the violence? The answer appears to be no. Anne-Marie Slaughter was director of policy planning at the State Department from 2009 until earlier this year. She's currently teaching at Princeton University. Dr. Slaughter, why would Bashar al-Assad at this point not abide by his own agreement with the Arab League to end the violence?
I'm not particularly surprised that al-Assad has not responded. He's been pursuing this tactic for months and months and months, promising reforms, promising, in this case, to refrain from violence, and then continuing doing exactly what he's been doing all along. So one interpretation, he's still just playing for time. He thinks that ultimately he's going to be able to quell this by force. And if he can just keep everybody off his back long enough for him to be able to do that, he'll win. I think that's the wrong calculation. The bravery of these protesters is absolutely extraordinary, and their resolve grows with every death. So I think he's making the wrong calculation, but it's consistent with his past behavior.
When you say the resolve of the protesters might grow with every death, what does that mean?
Well, they just keep coming out. They will not be silenced. They will not be driven from the streets. And that is a power in itself. This simply they continue coming out as he keeps killing them. International outrage grows. So until now, China and Russia have prevented UN action, but the Arab League has steadily gotten more involved, and this latest plan is the most active they've been to date. Turkey is also an absolutely essential actor here, and Turkey is essentially both creating a space for the opposition to meet and creating a buffer zone for armed groups to actually operate. So as long as they keep coming out into the streets, they are still exercising the power that they have.
You were strongly in favor of NATO's involvement in Libya. Do you support similar intervention in Syria?
I don't support military intervention in Syria, certainly not at this point. The conditions are not the same. In Libya, we had the Arab League asking for a no-fly zone. We had the Libyan armed groups on the ground asking for a no-fly zone and UN support. The best outcome in Syria is a peaceful resolution in which Bashar al-Assad steps down, or possibly he remains in power, but there is actually a real reform process. I think that's increasingly unlikely. But as long as there is a chance of that kind of resolution without armed conflict in the country, that has to be what we push for. And military intervention is not going to get us there.
Just have one more question for you. I'm very curious about your thoughts in general about what is transpiring now in the Arab Spring countries and the vast array of outcomes, at least so far, from Egypt to Tunisia to Syria.
I'm not sure we're going to know for quite a long time what the ultimate outcome is. In many ways, the Egyptian revolution is entering a new phase. The military government is cracking down very hard. There have been 12,000 military trials. Just this week, they arrested a very prominent and wonderful blogger who has been standing for ending all military trials. So there's another phase now of protest against the military government that has not delivered on its promises. In Tunisia, of course, you've had elections. You've had the Islamist party winning a plurality. How they're going to govern is going to be very important and watched by others in the region. So each country is different. And the only thing I think we can fairly predict is that given the demographics of these countries, where you have 60% of the population under 30 and connected, often educated, they are not going to stop. This is not a genie you can put back in the bottle.
Anne-Marie Slaughter was director of policy planning at the State Department in the Obama administration. She's now teaching politics and international affairs at Princeton. Good to have you on. Thank you.
It's a pleasure. Thanks.